sting is cutting into my Star Wars time. I'd really like to be whacking things with a lightsaber. I just saw this today on Twitter. Apparently, Star Wars, my game, is going from BioWare to some different company. I don't know if they sold it or, but I don't know what the exact logistics are. I haven't looked into it yet. So now I look at this and go, oh great, is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to stay the same? Is it just, most likely is this going to be worse differently, and nothing that needs to get fixed will get fixed. Don't forget my friends and my enemies. Fuck that up. Whatever. Alright, there we go. That was the intro. That was close enough. That's as good as you're getting for right now. You might get better next time, you might not. But that's what you're getting for right now. See, the thing is, I give in response to what I receive. And since only Chad Elkins has given me cuckbucks lately, well, I can only do so much. I can only give you a Chad Elkins amount of devotion to doing the intro. All right, so anyhow, it'd be nice if I could wrap this up in this episode. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Let me see what I can do here. So we continue. By the way, if you haven't listened to two previous episodes, you need to listen to those before you listen to this one. So then they go on, there's more, and there's blah, 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 and then we get to this, you know, humanity needs help in order to make better decisions. Since tempering our desires does not come to us naturally. You know, and of course, by help, he means we need people like us to tell us what to do. You know, this whole, if we do not learn to make better decisions than we have in the past, a grim fate may await our species. You know, we have all these things like the Wuhan, which again was a self-regulating system trying to correct itself. But oh no, we can't just let some old people die. Right? We got to, there's all this environmental destruction and all this shit, but oh, look, there's like some 75, 85, 95 year old people who are unhealthy and fat who might die. Boy, we got to do everything. We've got to add everything we can to the system to keep those old fat people alive. It's just to listen to the authors of this book talk about how we shouldn't be adding things to people to make them healthy. And then there are all of the shit. We got to add all this shit to the human species so we can keep being fat, unhealthy, and overpopulating the planet Earth. How about we don't add vaccines? How about we let natural immunity do its thing? How about people who don't have natural immunity die the way they're supposed to? How about, oh God, I'm going to do a bit on this. How about people who can't naturally have children? I mean, guys, look, I'm serious. If you've got to have your babies through C-section, if you can't squirt the baby out of your fucking pussy, like evolution or God, depending on which one you believe in, intended, probably you shouldn't be reproducing. But oh no, let's add things. We got these people who should not be reproducing. Let's add all of this stuff so that they can have babies anyway. We've got young children who are going to turn into adults. Let's add hormone blockers to them. It's all bullshit. All of this emotional manipulation. The ultimate point of the manipulation in this book is not for people to be healthier. It's to get rid of heterosexual white people in Western civilization. All right, let me keep going. Then they go off on a bit about, which again I agree with, light. Now that we have artificial light, there's no night anymore. There's no dark. It fucks up our circadian rhythms, which does have an effect on your health, which does have an effect on your diet, which does have an effect on how hungry you are, right? All this stuff works together. So, I mean, they're right about that. I don't remember exactly what they said in here. Here we go. Summing up, the invention of the electric light bulb was an event of profound significance, as other great innovations. The light bulb is a blessing and a curse. It's improved life, comes with a price. It is responsible for people artificially extending the length of their day. Yes, that is correct. And reducing their sleep. Yes, that would be correct. The resulting sleep debt is not only thought to be responsible for the majority of fatal accidents in the United States, but also for a population that is increasingly fatigued, depressed, and stressed. I don't know if no sleep is responsible for the majority of fatal accidents. That's a possibility. I don't know where that statistic came from. People are fatigued, depressed, stressed. They don't get enough sleep. There's nothing to disagree with here. All right, then we go on. We're talking about happiness. Oh, God. All right, here's brace yourselves. There's a long list of things I'm fucking sick of. Let me tell you about one of them. I'm sick of the patriarchy. Every time a woman, you know, can't fucking get anything done, can't show up to work on time, whatever. You know, the wage gap monster jumped out and got her, the patriarchy, the fag tag me too. I'm sick of it. It's always an excuse. There's always this excuse. Oh, I can't do anything because my systematic racism. Oh, the systematic racism. We got more fucking laws forcing people to hire colored people than ever before, but colored people can't fucking get a job because of my systematic racism. You know what I'm fucking sick of? I mean, other than women. You know what I'm fucking sick of? Other than Jews. You know what I'm fucking sick of? Dopamine. I am so goddamn sick of fucking, people eat too much food because dopamine. No. People eat too much food because they have no fucking impulse control. I am fucking tired of dopamine. Oh, people are smoked too much because of dopamine. People do much cocaine. I'm not saying dopamine doesn't exist. I'm saying that dopamine is the new fucking excuse. Every goddamn time somebody has no fucking impulse control, well, it's dopamine. Here's this whole section in here about the dopamine trap and the pleasure, and people eat because it causes pleasure and it triggers their dopamine. No, they stuff the fucking gallon of ice cream in their fucking face, not because of the goddamn dopamine. It's because they have no fucking impulse control. I have dopamine just like everybody else. I do not eat a gallon of fucking ice cream at a time because I have impulse control. I do eat an entire 1 pound bag of gummy bears at a time. I'm not doing that because of dopamine. I'm doing it because if you put a 1 pound bag of fucking gummy bears in front of me, I have no fucking impulse control. It's not dopamine. Dopamine did not break into my house at night and fucking force me to eat gummy bears. Okay? We got this whole fucking dopamine thing. I'm fucking sick of it. You have no fucking impulse control. Dopamine did not make you late for work. Dopamine is not the reason you can't show up on time. Dopamine is not the reason you can't get a job. Dopamine is not the reason you ate a gallon of ice cream. Okay? That's not what's going on. I'm fucking sick of it. I am fucking, absolutely fucking sick to fucking death of fucking low impulse control fucking people using dopamine as their excuse for why when she got her first paycheck, she had to go buy $400 worth of clothes. It was not dopamine. It was low impulse control. You're welcome. Shut the fuck up about dopamine. It's right up there with my wage gap and my systematic racism and my fucking anti-Semitism. Oh, God, have I got a fucking stuff on anti-Semitism. God, I'm so fucking sick of the Jews. I'm done with the fucking dopamine. Done with it. Shut the fuck up. Then we have a whole section here about the myth of moderation. You see, you can't have moderation. You've got to completely stop eating meat. You have to go total vegan. There can be no moderation. Then finally, we're on page 173. We finally get to fasting, which should have started on about page 65. All right, what am I supposed to read on page 174? Oh, let me read this to you. Because this story was also in the other book about fasting written by the vegan that I still haven't quite finished and I will eventually talk about and all this other stuff. But these people told the story, but they made it about 40 pages shorter. The other guy, he's very long-winded. And we'll talk about all that when I talk about that book and read it. Anyhow, so let me just read this story to you. And I'm probably just going to be able to blow through this without too much commentary. Henry Tanner was a middle-aged physician living in Duluth, Minnesota, who suffered for years with rheumatism. He also suffered from asthma, which chronically disrupted his sleep, and spent his waking hours in constant pain. Tanner had been taught that humans could live only 10 days without food, and in this knowledge he found solace. Not believing in suicide, he determined that he would simply starve himself to death, because that's different. As he stated later, quote, "Life to me under the circumstances was not worth living. I had found a shortcut, and I had made up my mind to rest from physical suffering in the arms of death," unquote. But fate had an agreeable surprise for Dr. Tanner. By unwittingly invoking an unknown constellation of health-promoting adaptations associated with water-only fasting, he rapidly recovered. By the fifth day of his fast, he was able to sleep peacefully. By the 11th day, he reported feeling, quote, "as well as in my youthful days," unquote. Fully expecting that he should be nearly dead, he asked a fellow physician, Dr. Moyer, to examine him. The doctor heard Tanner's story and was, not surprisingly, amazed. Tanner recalls that Moyer told him, quote, "you ought to be at death's door, but you certainly look better than I ever saw you before," unquote. Henry Tanner continued to fast under Dr. Moyer's supervision for an additional 31 days. Fellow physicians heard his story with disbelief and reacted with criticism. Wow, imagine, and remember, these doctors are geniuses. If the doctor says Wuhan is real and the vaccine is really a vaccine and it's perfectly safe to give hormone blockers to children, you need to believe them. They are experts. These doctors are experts. These are they're experts, guys. Experts. All the times in the past that doctors have been completely fucking wrong. But magically, today the doctors are right. Today, they're experts. Of course, hormone blockers are safe for children. Of course, these sudden heart attacks in 14-year-old football players are not caused by the WuVax. No, those are right-wing conspiracy theories. Fellow physicians heard his story with disbelief and reacted with criticism. Though widely rebuked as a fraud, he had the last laugh. Subsequent to his fast, Tanner had no symptoms of asthma, rheumatism, or chronic pain, and lived a full life of 90 years. Tanner's story has become a footnote in the history of knowledge. Perhaps his experiment was just too bizarre, too good to be true. It's understandable why his contemporaries disbelieved him. As the Nobel Prize-winning scholar Ilya Progynia and Isabella Stingers have noted, quote, there are striking examples of facts that have been ignored because the cultural climate was not ready to incorporate them into a consistent theme, unquote. Striking examples of facts that have been ignored because of the cultural climate. I'm just curious. Let's tangent for one moment. Can any of you think of any, I don't know, striking examples of facts that have been ignored because of the cultural climate? Wow. I mean, surely there wouldn't be any facts being ignored about, I don't know, immigration? Wouldn't be facts being ignored about, genocide of white people? There couldn't be any facts being ignored about 14-year-old football players having heart attacks. I mean, this is really difficult for me to believe. You know, if this wasn't, well, I mean, it was said by Nobel Prize-winning scholar. I mean, maybe, is it on the internet? Has it been on the TV? Maybe it's true. I just don't know. It's just so hard to believe. The authors of this book, they're so close. They're so close to the truth, but God, they just can't make it. They just can't let go of the vegan masturbatory fantasy. As a result, the story of Henry Tanner and the lesson it contains were nearly lost to a medical culture that had, and still has, difficulty seeing how doing nothing can improve a healing response. The idea that the human body might contain self-healing machinery, you mean like an immune system, that would operate best in the context of water-only fasting seemed ludicrous. You mean like an immune system? Ah, that's ludicrous. You don't have an immune system. No. Oh, no. All right, then a bunch of stuff about this and more about that. And then we're talking about fasting, which we don't really need to read. And then we get to page 187 with a chapter entitled, Show Me the Data. And I thought, oh my God, they're finally going to present data, which is kind of what I was wanting, data. And then I'm turning pages and there's no data. And there's still no data. And now we're complaining again about excessive animal consumption. Still no data. Excessive dietary sodium. Still no data. I'm looking. Can we find the data? Did we put any data in the chapter which is entitled Data? We did, but it took a while. It took a while to get there. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. As soon as I figure out what I'm reading. Here we go. Over a 12-year period, and remember, this was, when was the book published? $2003. All right, so I got distracted. I was reading something else in the book that I didn't see before. All right. Over a 12-year period, our True North Health Center, physicians have supervised the prolonged water-only fast of 174 patients with high blood pressure. Many of these patients were treated by their doctors with medications prior to admission. Many suffered from the normal side effects of such medications: impotence, fatigue, nausea, headaches, depression, chronic cough, and gastric irritation. Fortunately, none had yet suffered any of the more serious side effects known to be associated with these medications: kidney failure, congestive heart failure, and hemorrhagic stroke. Taking these medications might have been providing some small degree of benefit for some patients. However, medications are known to cause an average reduction in blood pressure of about 12 over 6 points, a statistically useful reduction for patients with moderate to severe hypertension, pressures over 160 over 100. Removing the causes of high blood pressure, however, was rather has rather different looking treatment results. After an average water-only fasting period of about 10 days, followed by a week on a vegan vegetarian diet, not a conventional diet, it's not the vegan vegetarian, it's the non-processed foods. After an average water-only fasting period of about 10 days, followed by a week on a vegan vegetarian diet, I cannot fucking read, our 174 patients experienced an average reduction of blood pressure of 37 over 13. This is about 3 times the effect demonstrated by standard medical intervention, easily the most powerful effect reported anywhere in scientific literature. So fasting and eating single ingredient food reduced blood pressure by 37 over 13. My pharmaceutical corporations reduced blood pressure by 12 over 6. More impressive still is the fact that among the most serious cases, water-only fasting had an even more profound effect. For patients with moderate to severe high blood pressure, pressures of 160 over 100 or above, the average impact of water-only fasting was an extraordinary 45 over 18. Remember, this is compared to 12 over 6 for my medications, my pharmaceutical corporations, my Pfizer. These more serious cases began their fasting experience with an average blood pressure of 173 over 99 and ended their experience off all medications at 128 over 81. By the end of their supervised fast, all patients in the study eliminated their use of high blood pressure medications. And 6 months after their experience, a follow-up subgroup of 45 patients had retained nearly 100% of their improvements. And they have charts and graphs here presenting the actual data. As you may have begun to suspect, these results are merely a good example of what happens when you allow the body an optimal opportunity to heal itself. Fasting tends to be effective with many health conditions, particularly those with causes related to dietary excesses. Fasting is a way to help the body restore optimal health and does it in a diversity of ways. It should be noted that our patients did experience one major side effect of their fasting experience: weight reduction. Oh boy, we certainly can't have anybody lowering their blood pressure and losing weight. All right, that goes on. Where am I at? Oh man, I might finish this. Holy shit, how much time do I have? Oh, it could happen. It could happen, guys. This could be So now they're doing like some propaganda for their clinic and stuff like that, and there's just more stuff about fasting. Here's their sample daily menu. Breakfast. Oatmeal cereal. No, that sounds like processed food. You should not eat that. Banana peeled. It actually says banana peeled. Did people eat the peel of the banana? Okay, remember the banana is like selectively bred. It's kind of mostly sugar. But still, it's natural sugar. So again, so the oatmeal cereal, that is not a single ingredient food. Banana, single ingredient food. Raisins, seedless, single ingredient food. Flax seeds, single ingredient food. Orange juice. I mean, if you're pouring that out of a fucking thing you bought at the supermarket, no. There's high fructose corn syrup, there's artificial sweeteners, there's shit in there. That is not real food. If you're actually getting an orange and you're squeezing it, single ingredient food. A lot of natural sugar, but it's not artificial sugar. Lunch, vegetable salad. I don't know exactly what they think goes into a vegetable salad, but if I was making a salad and adding vegetables to it, it would be lettuce, not iceberg lettuce, and vegetables, which are all single ingredient foods. Avocado, single ingredient food. Broccoli, steamed, single ingredient food. Kale, steamed, single ingredient food. Potatoes, baked, single ingredient food. Right? A potato you cook at home by baking it is different from a potato you get in the French fries at McDonald's. Everyone can see that. Pretty much anyone can figure that one out. But when it comes to meat, people think that a steak you cook at home is the same as a hamburger you get at McDonald's. It's not. Dinner, vegetable salad, single ingredient food. Long grain brown rice, cooked, as would you eat it raw? Do they have to tell people to cook it? Single ingredient food. Snow peas are delicious. Single ingredient food. Green beans, steamed, are delicious. Single ingredient food. Pumpkin slash squash seeds, kernels, dried. That sounds gross. Single ingredient food. Evening snack, blackberries. Single ingredient food. Everything on here except for oatmeal, cereal, and orange juice is a single ingredient food. It is not the fucking lack of meat that's creating the benefits here. It's the single ingredient foods. You're welcome, dumbasses. You're fucking welcome. Do the goddamn study where you have people eat meat in the context of single ingredient foods and show me those fucking results. I know how it's going to come out. I have my theory. Yeah, and if I'm wrong, well, then I'm going to have to fucking eat my shoe. But I have a strong suspicion how it's going to come out. They're called Eskimos. Let's go back to where we talk about eating enough food and you're satiated and you don't eat anymore. So these are the end notes where they go into a little more detail on some of the scientific information they present. So here we're talking about the satiation. All right. Though the term law of Though the term law of satiation is our creation, the concept is not new. The fact that animal minds are designed with extremely sensitive homeostatic mechanisms for optimal hunger, thirst, temperature regulation, and other functions has been long understood by physiological psychologists. This is beginning to become more widely recognized in the field of weight regulation science. While there are exceptions to every rule, of course, except, of course, the rule that the Wuhan vax is safe. There's no exceptions to that. The Wuhan vax from Pfizer, the RNA, it's completely safe. There's no exceptions. So that's the exception to the rule that there's an exception to every rule. While there are exceptions to every rule, such as individuals with rare disorders that disrupt mechanisms of satiation, it is clear that humans are just as well endowed with feeding regulation equipment as any other species. As such, our design will not lead us astray given a diet consistent with our natural history. Hang on 1 second, I gotta get a new water bottle. Fuck, great one. Can you pause the recording? Wait, no, I'm doing this. God damn it, just chill, bitch. Man, having podcast listeners is like having a girlfriend without any of the benefits. All right. Oh, wait, does having a girlfriend have benefits? I haven't had one in a long time, so I'm not sure. I've forgotten. All right, one point that is often mentioned is that animals typically live within environments of scarcity rather than environments of abundance. This being recognized, it is sometimes argued by stupid people, that was me editorializing, that modern humans overeat simply because they have access to an abundance of food. It is assumed that the omnipresent food itself is the root of today's weight problem, which it is not. It is your fucking lack of impulse control, not dopamine, and the fact, anyway, I've been talking about, you know, yeah, if you've been paying attention, you know it's because of the artificial fats, the artificial sweeteners. This is incorrect. Animals living within environments that are abundant with food are not observed to overeat and gain excessive fat. Instead, they are likely to parlay their good fortune into increasing the quality of their quantity, excuse me, increase the quantity of their offspring and thus send more genes into the genetic hereafter. Neither human nor other animal has been shown to systematically overeat when presented with food consistent with the organism's natural history. On the contrary, such a diet eaten to satiate results in weight regulation and requires no conscious control of intake quantity. Our results at True North Health Center corroborate this observation. If patients are overweight, they lose weight when eating to satiate on whole natural foods diet, in other words, single ingredient foods. In observing 5,000 patients over 20 years at our inpatient facility, we have yet to observe an exception. So point number one, all these fucking fat people, well, I have a glandular disorder. No, you don't. No, you fucking don't. Point number two, I can verify this. Not with fucking fat people. I'd love to fucking get some fat people and fucking make them not eat. I can verify this, as those of you have been around long enough or remember, you know, I worked in biomedical research for 8 fucking years. Every goddamn day I was in a building filled with lab animals. Unless there was a reason to restrict their diet, those animals had access to all the food they wanted. We kept their food containers full. And the number of times I went in to the animal's room to check the animals and feed them and water them, and the food containers were empty, was never. I mean, unless somebody didn't feed them the previous day or something, maybe. But we checked on the animals every single day. The animals all got fresh food and water every single day. They had all the food they wanted right there in their fucking food container. There were no fat mice. There were no fat rats. There were no obese bunny rabbits. It did not happen. They ate until they were full, and then they stopped. You You're fat because you don't have any goddamn impulse control, sweetheart. And because you're eating shitty food. You're fucking welcome, bitch. It's not the abundance of food in the environment. My God, I mean, like, and again, I look at myself personally. Holy shit, I am eating so much less food. Like the other day, what did I eat? Because I was shocked. Because I thought about it. I had like two hamburger patties and a small steak. And I ate something else. But I ate like almost nothing, especially compared to like what I know I can eat and what I've eaten in the past. I ate these very small amount of food. And I was done by like 1 p.m. I was full. I didn't eat the rest of the day. By the way, let me, hold on, drink water. Because I got to keep you guys updated on the experiment because I'm doing actual real science here. So what I'm doing right now, my new system, is I've broken, because for a while there I told you I was doing like the 3 days of carnivore, 2 days fasting, 3 days of eating whatever, 2 days fasting. Well, I've broken it down now. I've redone this. Everything is broken down into a five-day block. And so in a five-day block, I do 2 days worth of fasting. And what 2 days those are whatever 2 days are convenient. It's like in this five-day block right now, today is the 9th. So I'm looking at my calendar. So it started on the 6th. On the 6th, I ate food. On the 7th and the 8th, I did a 2-day fast. Today is the 9th, I ate food. And then tomorrow's the 10th, I'm going to eat food. And then my next 5-day block starts. And I kind of look at my life, because this works so much better with my work schedule now, because I'm still getting in my fasting. And instead of fasting every other day like I was doing under this system, because I'm doing 2 fasting days in each 5-day block, I actually have 3 more eating days in a month than I would under the one day on, one day off system. Psychologically, it feels to me like I'm eating way more days than I was previously. When I look at it in the math, I know it's only 3 days more, but psychologically I'm full. And I am literally at the point where the other, well, I did, let's see, I ate on the 1st. I fasted, what was it, like the 2nd? And the 2nd and the 3rd, but it's like the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th, I ate 3 days in a row. And by the 6th, not only, that was a day I ate hardly anything. Not only did I eat very little that day and feel full, by the 3rd day of eating in a row, I was like sick of food. I was just like, I was looking forward to fasting because I'm like, God, I've had enough fucking food. I just ate 3 goddamn days in a row. I don't want any more food. So this shit is real. Just because there's food around you, no. Humans, animals, all we can figure out. Hey, we've had enough. Time to stop. All right, anyway, moving on. Goddamn, I might finish this if I can fucking stop talking about myself. Oh, great one. Don't do that. We love it when you talk about yourself. Yeah, whatever, fags. 213. What is this fucking bookmark for? What am I doing? Okay, that. There's like benefits of fasting. We can skip that if we run out of time. But there's a bunch of them. Losing weight. You get healthier. Fucking stop eating food all the goddamn time. There you go. Oh, Laws. Okay, we did that. What am I doing? 214. Chapter 11. Oh, shit. We are going to finish this. If I can stop tangenting. What are the odds, right? Oh, guys, so here's the reason. Let me explain this to you. Here's why on this podcast I do so much tangenting. See, it's dopamine. Because every time I tangent, I get a dopamine hit. And then the dopamine, man, it's flowing through me. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, and I really want to go back to talking about what I'm supposed to be talking on the podcast, but the dopamine is distracting me. And then while the dopamine has me distracted, the wage gap monster jumps out and knocks me down, and it knocks me over into a great big puddle of systematic racism. And then I'm struggling. The wage gap monster's on top of me, and the systematic racism is all around me, and the dopamine. And then the 6 million, the weight of the 6 million comes crushing down upon me, and oh my God, am I oppressed. Despite the escalating aggressiveness of surgery and chemotherapy, women do not live longer. Thank God. Anything we can do to shorten the lives of women. Women do not live longer post-diagnosis than they did in the 1920s. And more than 90% of women diagnosed with breast cancer will die of this disease. Guys, this is tragic. 90% of women diagnosed with breast cancer will die of breast cancer. Guys, we've got to get this up to 100%. I mean, in fact, we need to get up to 108%. We need to do some ICU math on this. That it's only 90%. This is tragic. Come on. We got it. We got to fucking do something to support those killer titties. Can you imagine getting rid of more women? Oh, God. The greatest thing ever. Many people find this difficult to believe, given the upbeat propaganda about the value of early detection and treatment for breast cancer. The truth is that the results for breast cancer treatments have been a huge disappointment, but they have made a lot of money. That's not it. That's me. The money part, that's me editorializing. They've made a lot of money. A recent review indicates that treatments on average may increase a woman's survivability by between 1 and 2 percentile points. How much environmental destruction is done by chemotherapy, by building the machinery for chemotherapy, by producing the chemicals for chemotherapy, for transporting all of those chemicals, burning fossil fuels? Remember, women care about the earth. They care about global warming. But they'll destroy as much as they need to destroy to increase their survivability by 2 percentage points, because all they care about is themselves. This means that the expected increase in length of life may be close to zero. Thank God, extending the lives of women is really about the fucking worst thing I can think of. I mean, they already lived. As far as I'm concerned, they should all die like about 30. I mean, what is good is a woman over the age of 30? In his excellent review, John McDougall, MD, found that statistical analysis examining treatment effects have indicated that, quote, as few as 6% of women have had their lives prolonged by 14 months, unquote. This is from the McDougall Program for Women, page 131. This means that, according to some estimates, 94% of women have their lives lengthened by 0 to 14 months with the standard treatments of surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. This is hardly what we would call treatment. Of women that contract breast cancer, nearly all will die of the disease. McDougall explains this bleak fact that, quote, despite improved surgical techniques, advanced methods of radiation, and the widespread use of chemotherapy, the death rate from breast cancer has not changed meaningfully during the last 50 years, unquote. The McDougall Program for Women, page 125. Breast cancer is a classic example of a terrifying problem, emotions, for which women are being routinely sold false hope. Wow. Imagine that. The medical industrial complex is selling women. It's really difficult to sell things to women. Selling women false hope. Wear pink. I have a pink ribbon. Titty Cancer Awareness Month. I have my Titty Cancer Awareness coffee mug. I paid $25 for it. It was shipped via FedEx in a vehicle burning fossil fuels. I care about the earth. Fucking goddamn fucking whores. My titty cancer. Oh, my killer titties. My killer titties. Breast cancer is a this sentence deserves to be read again. Breast cancer is a classic example of a terrifying problem, emotional manipulation, for which women, the stupidest people on earth, are being routinely sold false hope by the medical industrial complex. The solution is not in early detection. How could it be when the treatments are of so little use? The best solution by far is prevention. And that solution is robust. It is conservatively estimated that at least 80% of breast cancers could be prevented through the adoption of the diet and lifestyle modifications we have recommended. It's hard for me to get too excited about women dying of titty cancer because I really can't think of anything better for women to do than die other than being thin and having sex with me. But since most women are not going to be thin and even fewer women are going to have sex with me, I'm perfectly okay with them dying from titty cancer. It's just the-